I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway, broadcasting today and tomorrow from KUER in Salt Lake City, Utah. And it's great to have you with us.
Have you ever wondered how do they allocate money from the government for the cities and the states? Let me tell you how we can all make a difference just by taking time and filling out the U.S. Census.
The constitutionally mandated 2020 census is stuck in a state of uncertainty, and now there are questions that not all Americans will be counted. A new study from the Urban Institute estimates that 2020 might actually undercount Black and Latino populations and children under 5 years old. That would further skew how and where our government spends its money. One of the reasons the report cites is the possible citizenship question the Trump administration wants to add. The ACLU and other civil rights groups are suing to remove the question, and the Supreme Court is supposed to issue a ruling this month. Congress is taking its own approach as the Democratic-controlled House and Oversight Committee weighs holding key Trump officials in contempt over what they see as a refusal to cooperate over how exactly they decided to retool the census. Getting an accurate count of the population every 10 years has enormous impacts on how the country is run. It determines how many representatives each state gets in Congress and is a major factor in figuring out how much money needs to be allocated for things like healthcare, school funding, and infrastructure. Joining us now are Diana Elliott, a senior research associate in the Center on Labor, Human Services, and Population at the Urban Institute, and Andrew Desiderio, a congressional reporter at Politico. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Diana, let's talk a little bit about some of the major findings here, particularly when it comes to undercounting populations of Black and Latino and other minority groups.
Sure. So the major findings are that Black people could be undercounted by 3.7% in our high-risk scenario. We also see that Hispanic and Latinx people could be undercounted by 3.6%. And young children under the age of 5 could be undercounted by 6.3%. And that's really important to sort of stress. You know, people might hear that 3.7 or 3.6 is not that much. But when you think about the overall population of the country, we're looking at 4 million people who could be undercounted in the 2020 census. And that is a much sort of more severe outcome than what we saw in 2010.
So I was just going to say, comparatively, there are always populations that are undercounted, right? There are folks
That
don't fill out the census. There are people that don't want to fill it out or aren't aware of it. But you're suggesting, your report is saying that this could be even more severe.
Right. I mean, we're looking at sort of an undercount that we haven't seen in potentially 30 years. And there's a number of factors driving that, right? We have demographic change going on, right? The country is becoming more diverse. The people who are hard to count are becoming harder to count. We also have other factors like changes to the census that they've had to make, frankly, because of underfunding over the last decade. So they've made operational changes which could potentially exaggerate that undercount for those hard-to-count groups.
Andrew, let's talk a little bit about what's happening in D.C. The census and Congress has been investigating the census question for some time, particularly when it comes to citizenship. Tell us a little bit about how that investigation started.
Right. So it essentially started right when House Democrats took over control of the House of Representatives earlier this year. The House Oversight and Reform Committee has been investigating this for a while. They've issued a number of subpoenas, and actually next week they will be holding two cabinet secretaries in contempt of Congress for failing to provide documents and witness testimony related to their investigation into how this question got added to the census. There is a deadline tomorrow, Thursday, that would basically allow Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross and Attorney General William Barr to turn over some documents to maybe stave off that contempt vote next week. But I'm being told that it's unlikely that they will comply in any way. So it looks like it'll go forward next week.
So when Wilbur Ross testified in front of the House Oversight Committee in March, what did he have to say about questions about the political motivations of adding the citizenship question? Because we know that's really at issue here, right? Whether or not the citizenship question itself is even constitutional.
That's right. So what we learned last week was essentially that there was new evidence uncovered that stated that essentially a now deceased Republican gerrymandering expert had urged people to consider this because it would essentially help Republicans win more elections in the future. And that evidence came out related to the ongoing litigation in the Supreme Court over this issue. Wilbur Ross obviously has denied that there were any political motivations, and he has kind of sidestepped questions about, you know, how this issue came about and who specifically wrote the memo that required the addition of this question to the census. So it's been a hot button topic, especially in the Oversight Committee for a few months now.
Diana, let's talk a little bit about the broader issues here in terms of what are causing some of the issues to the 2020 census. It's beyond the citizenship question. We know the census has been struggling for a while. What about funding?
Yeah, we've seen a decade of really perpetually underfunded census activities. And also, it's been very unpredictable. So, for example, they were supposed to do 3 end-to-end tests. Now, this is the sort of the dry run for the census. And they had to cut it back to just one site, Providence, Rhode Island. You know, it's not a great test scenario for the whole country. So they haven't had the funding to properly test and vet everything in the way that we would like to see, typically. Furthermore, they've made some pretty considerable changes to how the census is going to be done this year in 2020. And one of those examples is they're prioritizing the internet response. So the census really wants everyone to answer online. But what do you do about situations where people don't have access to internet or where they're just sort of in a rural location, for example? Another change that they've made is that they are prioritizing using administrative records to fill in gaps where people haven't responded or answered. But again, the people who are hardest to count are those also most likely to be not in administrative records as well.
And I'm wondering, you know, you mentioned online access to the census. That it almost feels like if they're going to try that, 2020 might not be the year, given all of the setbacks that the census has faced so far. Are there also concerns that that there will be technical issues if we do online counting on the census?
There are concerns. In fact, in their operational plan, they've outlined that cybersecurity and sort of technical failures could be a risk. And they're doing their best to try to counter that, but there are certain known unknowns that they can't always accommodate for. It's a huge operational challenge.
Andrew, let's talk a little bit, let's go back a second to what the Supreme Court is doing here. The Supreme Court heard arguments regarding the citizenship question back in April. Remind us about that.
Right. So this is the ongoing litigation that I was referring to before, and the House Oversight and Reform Committee has been trying to conduct its own separate investigation into this issue, apart from the many lawsuits actually that have been brought forth over this issue. And I think the main issue is what I mentioned had come out last week, which was this new evidence that, you know, essentially this question came about from a now deceased Republican gerrymandering expert who had argued for some time that essentially, you know, if you were to add a citizenship question to the census, that would cause congressional districts to be redrawn in a way that would actually help Republicans, boost Republicans' electoral chances, and essentially grow the number of Republicans who would be in the House of Representatives after 2020 once they actually formally do this new count. That's been the main issue. Republicans who are on the Oversight Committee have accused Democrats of trying to interfere with that ongoing litigation by, you know, issuing these subpoenas, doing these contempt proceedings and everything. So it's still a hot button political topic in addition to, you know, all the nitty gritty details.
And Diana, I'm just wondering, is there anything that can be done to avoid an outcome like this undercount that you're expecting?
Well, everyone should participate. I think that's the key take-home message here. It's a civic responsibility, a civic duty. I know that there's some apprehension among people about security, but census employees are sworn to confidentiality. It's taken very seriously. There's very high penalties for not complying with that. So I want to stress that that's really the best way is to sort of get out there, let people in your family know how important it is to do this, let your friends know. Participating is key, and it can turn around these changes.
And Andrew, I'm wondering what essentially is happening on the Hill right now that might change us.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, you know, they're continuing to investigate, continuing to seek documents, continuing to seek testimony. The biggest sticking point, I think, is the fact that one of the assistant attorneys general, this guy named John Gore, who they believe was, you know, essential in the writing of this memo to create the citizenship question, he was not willing to answer the committee's specific questions under oath about the citizenship question, which is what led to these contempt proceedings that we'll see next week and this deadline that I mentioned for tomorrow, for them to at least provide some documents or answer some questions under oath that might help stave off those contempt proceedings. But as I mentioned before, the Justice Department has been pretty steadfast in denying all of those requests for more information. And that's sort of where this investigation stands right now. It's obviously a pattern for the Trump administration trying to embrace this strategy of all-out resistance of the congressional investigations, whether it's the census, whether it's over the Mueller report, and whether it's over the president's personal finances.
Andrew Desiderio is a congressional reporter at Politico, and Diana Elliott is a senior research associate in the Center on Labor, Human Services, and Population at the Urban Institute. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.